good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Welcome, everybody. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I am Ogoma Ganua Kwe, and we have two special guest hosts here with us on Native Roots Radio today. We have Antonia Gonzalez, who is anchor and producer of National Native News and a correspondent for New Mexico in Focus. She's also the creator, host, and producer of the special series Alaska's Native Voice and has served as a guest host of Native America Calling. We also have with us Rhonda Lavaldo, who is a Coma Pueblo and is the professor and media, in media communications at Haskell Indian Nations University and is also a host for Spirit Radio 90.1 FM, KKFI in Kansas City, and also a freelance reporter for National Native News. We are so blessed to welcome them on our show this evening. Antonia, welcome. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ogoma, and thank you to Robert for having us on the show. We're always excited to be here and share some of the news that we do, looking at Indigenous issues across the country and around the world, and just providing updates. Last time we were on, we were talking about the National Congress of American Indians, and we had went to the Mid-Year Conference in Anchorage. And there's just so much to share from the news and events that take place, whether it's a formal conference, whether it's following national news and how that's impacting Indian country, to social gatherings, to what's going on in pop culture. So thank you so much. I'm happy to be here. Again, my name is Antonia Gonzalez, and I'm a proud citizen of the Navajo Nation. And I'm joined with my co-host tonight, Rhonda Lavaldo, who is Acoma Pueblo. Rhonda, welcome to the show. Oh, I think we're muted. Okay. Well, we'll get that figured out. Well, we have a great show for everyone tonight. Rhonda's going to talk about some of the things that are going on in Kansas. She lives in Lawrence, Kansas. Of course, she's from the Southwest, where I'm based in Albuquerque. And Rhonda, are you back with us? Can we hear you now? Oh, okay. Let's see. We heard you a few minutes ago. Bear with us, everyone. We're just working through some technical problems here. But Rhonda's going to be talking about a big vote that went on in the primary in Kansas recently. And it had to do with Kansas being the first state since Roe versus Wade and, you know, what's going on in Kansas. Rhonda had talk to people, students. There's also an Indian center that was doing stuff, a lot of get out the Native vote push, registering people to vote, and looking at that issue. And then when the vote came out, and it basically, you know, people in Kansas, including Native women who Rhonda talked to, were afraid of an abortion ban and not having access to even just, you know, some of the health care that comes around with birth control. And Ogoma, I think that the show's covered some of that, and you could probably even mirror what people in Kansas were thinking and saying and watching to some of the guests you've had on the show.
Yeah, you know, so in Kansas, they had, you know, they voted basically to protect themselves from an abortion ban. And here in Minnesota, where we're live from, there's been a lot of activism that's happening around abortion rights here as well. Even though we still technically have the legal right to abortion here in Minnesota, there's a lot of activists who are stepping up to the plate to say, don't take it from us.
And some of the issues too surrounding it were just looking at Native rights and the rights of Native women. And one of the people that Rhonda had talked to is a well-known a Lawrence school board member, a community member, does a lot with the community, and looking at it as part of colonization, and also looking at it is taking away those rights and looking at Native rights and having that be part of that. Ogama, do you think that you heard some of that in Minnesota as well?
We definitely heard some of that in Minnesota. In fact, we had a guest on Native Roots Radio who reminded us that even though Native people have access to supposedly sovereign rights within their reservations and tribal lands, that most communities have an IHS or Indian Health Service funded clinic. Right now in the U.S., even before the overturn of Roe versus Wade, there is a law that says you cannot use federal funds for abortion. So anybody receiving care at an IHS clinic automatically does not have access to a safe and effective abortion. And that is a dangerous place to be in as a Native woman. And women of color throughout the entire country know that they are disproportionately more likely to be affected by these abortion bans. So we heard a lot of those similar things here on the show between guests and people that have come on to talk about these things, but also people, commenting on our show as it was happening.
And also looking at when we talk about healthcare and Native people taking, using the Indian Health Service, but also just urban clinics, there's a lack of access already for people both on reservations who have to drive for healthcare, or people living in urban cities who maybe they don't have access to healthcare where they're at. And so those are also issues that play into it. And definitely looking at just even the cost of prescriptions and other kinds of care, that all plays into it. So taking an issue and then looking at the ripple effects in tribal communities, whether it's Kansas or across the country there in Minnesota. And also just how looking at sovereign rights and sovereignty, and how there was a lot of press and a lot of from non-Native media outlets as well suggesting, safe havens for abortion on tribal mm-hmm. communities and stuff like that, which, tribes are sovereign nations. And so in what I saw and what we reported on and found, we didn't see any tribe coming up and saying, that this was going to happen. It was more of that being pushed on different agendas, and especially by non-Native media outlets. What do you think about that, Ogama?
Yeah, we did have a discussion about that again with one of our guests here on Native Roots Radio, and that's absolutely right. That is what happens is people, I joke and call it voluntold instead of volunteering. Somebody tells you what it is you're volunteering to do, and that happens a lot in Indian country to people who, even as something as simple as being the person who is Native in the workplace. So they come to you to ask what Native people might think. On a larger scale, this happens in media where different organizations and news outlets say, there could be a safe haven without having any sort of education or idea on what that issue actually looks like in Indian country. So it's important that we keep having these conversations. I think another reason that this is so important too is that as late as the 1970s, Native women were forcibly sterilized, and having rights to our body to decide what happens to it, having that sovereignty over our own bodies is incredibly important.
And back into that too, looking at that issue and, thinking about Kansas as the first state since the ruling to put it to a vote, to put it to the people and what the people found. And when we get Rhonda back, she can give us an update about, challenges now and what they're doing now and looking at how they're going to move forward and who knows what's going to happen in other states moving forward, especially with voting. And we talked to a lot of Native voting rights advocates who talk about, not only this issue, but a lot of other issues and why it's so important to get out the Native vote. And we do have a story coming up in the next segment about a Native civil rights leader from New Mexico, Miguel Trujillo, who Native people just celebrated him here this month. He was a leader in getting Native people the right to vote.
Awesome. I'm so excited to hear about that, Antonia. Thanks again for joining us. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. We've got special guest host Antonia Gonzalez from National Native News joining us tonight. We will be right back after this message.
Ooh. I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
COVID levels may be falling, but the virus is still around. Stay healthy and up to date on your COVID vaccinations and boosters. Right now, everyone 6 months and older is eligible to get a vaccination, while everyone 5 and up is eligible for their booster shot. Plus, you're eligible for a second booster if you're over 50 or received an initial booster dose at least 4 months ago. Find a vaccination site by calling 651-304-9986 or visit vaccineconnector.mn.gov. This message brought to you by the Native American Community Clinic.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. We are here with two special guest hosts, Antonia Gonzalez and Rhonda Lavaldo, who have kindly agreed to take over and help guest host today. I'm Ogama Ganuakwe. I'm going to pass it off here to Antonia Gonzalez and Rhonda Lavaldo, but I just want to give a special birthday shout out to Winona LaDuke. It is her birthday today.
Happy birthday, and thank you so much, Ogama and Robert and all the listeners for letting us come on tonight and talk a little bit about some of the reports that we're doing in Indian country and around the world. And yes, thanks. I'm Antonia Gonzalez, and I'm a proud citizen of the Navajo Nation, and I have Rhonda Lavaldo guest hosting with me tonight from Acoma Pueblo. Hey, Rhonda.
Hello, how are you doing?
All right, yay, we got you. Right. A little bit of sound issue, but it's all good. We're here. So before the break, we were talking and looking to get an update about what's going on in Kansas when it comes to rights to abortion.
All right, so we just had our primary, and we were the first state to vote on the abortion issue since the Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade. And so it was a big deal because in the state of Kansas, you know, it's heavily conservative, voted for Trump, and overwhelmingly votes for Republican in our elections. But it's kind of crazy because in Douglas County, where Lawrence, Kansas sits, is very Democrat, as well as Johnson County to the east of us. And so Tuesday, we were the first state to vote on that abortion amendment, which would allow the state of Kansas to change their constitution, which was a talking point for many people saying that they could make abortion illegal in the state of Kansas. Right now, it is legal. A lot of people come to the state of Kansas because Missouri, it is illegal, and Oklahoma, it is illegal. So a lot of people come to the state of Kansas for those types of medical services. And it's, you know, we had a situation here a couple decades back where we had a abortion provider, George Tiller, who practiced in Wichita, Kansas, and he was gunned down at his practice and killed over his services. And so it's kind of a crazy situation where with Kansas, you know, people wanting to provide those services for people who need them. And a lot of people don't realize the impact that'll have on people who may be pregnant and may not be able to carry to term because of certain medical issues. And so it was important for a lot of people here to get out the vote. And the state, well, and in regards to Kansas, the Kansas City Indian Center, they made sure to go out and try and register as many voters as they could. They went and registered voters at Haskell Indian Nations University here in Lawrence, which a lot of people with which college students, they don't realize that that they can vote in this election, even though they're out of their state. If they so choose, they can change their voting from their home state to the state of Kansas since they live here. And so they were trying to provide that education to them that they could vote if they so chose, or they could just enroll them wherever they were in their home state. So it was interesting to see that. And Kansas City Indian Center, a lot of people don't realize this, Kansas City is divided like right down the middle. It's one part is Missouri and the other part's Kansas. And so there's a Kansas City, Kansas, Kansas City, Missouri. And so they were really trying to get out there and get people registered in the state of Kansas for this primary. And again, that was unique because this is a primary. It wasn't even the general election that they were presenting this amendment issue, which anyone could vote in, whether you were Democrat, Republican, or independent. This was open to all parties.
Well, thanks for that update, Rhonda. And part of what we're also talking about is getting out the Native vote and the importance of voting, whether it's this is an issue that you're, you know, want to make sure that you get your opinion on or any other issue. And here in New Mexico, we recently celebrated Miguel Trujillo Day earlier this month, who is a Native civil rights leader who helped secure Native voting rights. And I went to an event here and spoke with people who are working around the clock to get Native people registered to vote.
The Isleta Pueblo Voters Alliance was founded by tribal community members in 2020 with the interest to empower and educate and encourage our own tribal members to vote, to use their constitutional right to vote, to change, to bring change. And so that's how the Isleta Pueblo Voters Alliance was established. Miguel Trujillo is a brave, brave man. Born in the Pueblo of Isleta, you know, he was very into higher education, went and really carried on that higher consciousness and learning. And he, you know, fought for his nation. He was a Marine Corps, and came back and wanted to vote and got refused. And so this is how it all sparked a lawsuit here in the state of New Mexico, where he was going to challenge that, and he won. And so at that time, it's just a beautiful story, and it's just refreshing now at this current day that we've had those leaders in place and that we continue to have these type of Native leaders to amplify the voices of our people.
And what does that look like today when it comes to educating and advocating for Get Out the Native Vote, for registering people, for people to take part in, you know, exercising their right to vote? We even heard his family members say over and over again, one vote counts. So what does it look like today as far as Native vote efforts?
I think it's a huge thing for us right now. I think that right now, since we are becoming more aware of our rights, Native folks and Indigenous communities are starting to step up to the table. We're starting to fight for what we know, and that is our land, that is our water, that is our body. This is the things, ecology, that we have are seeing being destroyed. And the more that we get out to vote, I feel like we can be those change makers. We can be those people who actually say, no, this is the type of environment and spaces and relationships and communities that we want to live in. And so what I feel is that there has to be a shift. There has to be a shift in our in how we vote and how we speak up, getting out there, being educated. Do the research, folks. Find out who you align with, the values. That's so important. Do they align with your values? It's important that we know that those people are advocating for us. We don't want outside people coming in and trying to take over and have their own agenda. Indigenous people have been here for years, and we have our own agenda, and that's with the land, and it's with each other.
And your message to youth, especially, you know, having Mr. Trujillo lead the way and having Native voting rights. So what's your message to youth when you're talking to young people?
Don't be afraid. Step out of the box. Use your voice. Use your power. Women, it's the time. Young ladies, everybody, it's the time now. Don't be scared. The technology is so present. It's at our fingertips. You have that right in front of you. And if you have any questions, youth, please, you know, reach out. There's people willing to help. There's different organizations that specialize in youth council if you have the interest. There's a lot of great organizations that can help bring awareness and education. And so we really want to bring that into our communities. We really want our youth to really be involved. It's important that they're at the table. It's important that they're hearing these issues because they're the next generation that has to deal with these issues.
And I know the primary is already over for New Mexico, so the next big push is at the general election. And is there anything, you know, I guess, top issues or on the agenda that Native groups are encouraging people to educate themselves about?
Definitely. I believe that right now our water is a huge issue for us. And so these companies, big companies that are coming in to frack, fracking for oil and gas, yes, let's step up. Let's step up our voice. Let's step up our advocacy. This is important because it messes with elemental forces that we all live by. And it does. There's a lot of things that happen in the future that can happen in the future when we do mess with these types of things. And so we as individuals and Native folks, Indigenous folks, understand the relationship. And so we want to be able to protect what we have. And water is a huge thing for us. And it's just not here in the state. We're seeing it nationwide. What can we do? What can we do for this state? How can we protect those resources? These are valuable resources that we've had, and now it's time that we take that back. We be the voices for those things that don't have a voice. You know, they need to stop being destroyed.
And anything else?
Thank you so much for this opportunity. I just encourage everybody to go out to the polls. Use your voice, like we've been saying. Every vote counts. Just, you know, be that superpower, be that superhuman, and get out there and vote.
And that was Janice Lucero, Isleta Voters Alliance, talking about Miguel Trujillo Day. I think we have to take a break here, but Rhonda, as a Pueblo person, we'll get your input and what you know about Miguel Trujillo and just how this is. Great to have a Pueblo leader who is known for leading the way in civil rights.
No, that's really great because, you know, we need people in those leadership positions telling our young people what's important and paving the way for them so that they're going to go out there and register to vote and be a part of this election, whether it's in New Mexico, in Kansas, you know, wherever you reside.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. We will be right back.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to Jay Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me one. Let's go order at Jay Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Come see the Native Roots Trading Post at the West End Market of the Minnesota State Fair. Native Roots Trading Post is Native-owned and operated. Shop goods from local and national Native artists that you'll love instantly. Native Roots Trading Post is supporting Native artists this year at the Minnesota State Fair, August 25th to September 5th. Native Roots Trading Post, we support Native artists and you can too. Buy Native at the Native Roots Trading Post this year at the Minnesota State Fair.
The Senior Linkage Line is a free statewide service of the Minnesota Board on Aging in partnership with Trellis. I have volunteered with seniors nearly 15 years, working alongside their compassionate team. I am honored to partner with Trellis as we help our elders find housing, compare costs of Medicare prescriptions, and learn how to avoid fraud and scams targeting seniors. We help our elders optimize well-being as they age, and we can help you too. Reach out today at trellisconnects.org.
Hi, Minneapolis. This is Randy Rhodes. Listen to me. Weeknights, 10 to midnight, AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hey, it's Patrick for Zero Res. How much do you love your home? If you are anything like me, you know that your house is so much more than just a place to keep your stuff. It's where I can unwind with my favorite meal and a game on TV after a long day at the studio. If you love your home as much as I do, then you know there is only one cleaning company to trust with your carpet, tile, upholstery, area rugs, air duct cleaning, and more. And that's my cleaning heroes at Zero Res. If you haven't tried out Zero Res or it's been months since your last deep clean, then now is the time to call. Right now, when you mention the AM 950 special, you can get your entire home Zero Resified from the Twin Cities' number one carpet cleaner and get 20% off your entire cleaning service. This 20% off end of summer deal is the best you're going to see, so act now. Call right now, 952-ZERO-RES, or book online anytime at ZeroResMinnesota.com and save 20% off all cleaning services. Zero Res, backward or forward, spells the same.
Hi, this is Chad from AM 950. Snap Construction is arguably the most well-reviewed roofing, siding, window, and insulation contractor in the metro. Ryan is so excited about working with AM 950 and our listeners that he wants to help us grow.
This is Ryan, owner of Snap Construction. I was friends with Chad long before I started marketing with him. I was a bit skeptical of radio advertising before Chad convinced us to run ads. The advertising's been so successful, we want to help the station grow. We've absolutely loved working with the listeners of AM 950, and we all know how extremely important this radio station is to the community. To help AM 950 grow this summer, Snap Construction will be putting up proceeds to assist the station in marketing on social media. Snap Construction encourages you to follow, engage, share, and interact on the AM 950 social media platforms. Together, we can all work to ensure AM 950 continues to thrive and grow in our communities. We stand by our work with a lifetime craftsmanship guarantee. For a free estimate or more information on our financing, call 612-333-SNAP or check us out online.
With a look at your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lulia. Showers and thunderstorms tonight with a low of 64. More showers and thunderstorms on Friday with a high of 74. The Great Wall has been serving up authentic Peking and Sichuan favorites for over 40 years. The Great Wall is located on France Avenue along the Minneapolis-Edina City line. Check out their menu at greatwallrestaurant.us.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I am Oguma Ganuakwe. I want to let everybody know this portion of the show is brought to you by the Native Roots Trading Post. Look for the Native Roots Trading Post at the Minnesota State Fair, August 25th through September 5th, 2022. We are here with guest hosts Antonia Gonzalez and Rhonda Lavaldo. Welcome back. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Thanks for having us tonight. So the first part of the show, we were talking about the importance of Native Vote, but you know, we do a lot of reporting, don't we, Rhonda? And there's a lot of exciting things going on in Indian country. One of them is a Native woman about to make history, Native American NASA astronaut, Nicole Mann. She's part of the crew preparing to launch a U.S. commercial spacecraft to the International Space Station by the end of September. This is going to be her first space flight since becoming an astronaut in 2013. And she's going to be the space craft commander. I got a chance to talk to her before, as she's preparing and before they take off to space.
I'm Nicole Mann, and I am the NASA SpaceX 5 crew commander, and we'll be launching to the International Space Station in the end of September.
And how excited are you about this? This is going to be your first time, right?
This will be my first time to space. Yes, I joined NASA back in 2013. And so I've been training ever since. We've been training specifically for this mission for the past year, and we are ready to go, ready to launch.
And what is your role going to be?
So I'm the commander of the spacecraft. So I will fly myself and three other crewmates. We will launch from Kennedy Space Center in a Dragon spacecraft, which is built by SpaceX. And we will take a day or so to get to the International Space Station, and we'll stay on board for about 6 months to execute our mission. Our spacecraft will stay attached that entire time. Then at the end of the mission, we'll come back home and we'll splash down off the coast of Florida.
And what are some of the key parts of the mission? Is there something that is going to be studied or looked at, or what's going to happen during the 6 months?
During the 6 months on board, we have about 250 scientific experiments that we will be able to partake in and execute for the principal investigator on the ground. And some of those are technology demonstration to help us in further human exploration. A lot of them are scientific investigations and research to benefit humans back on Earth, though. So because the space station is in microgravity, there's a lot of things that we can do that you simply can't do on Earth. So one of my favorite that I'm excited to participate in is this biofabrication facility. And we're actually growing human cells on the space station. So they've already grown a partial meniscus and some heart cells. And this like 3D printing of cells is difficult to do on Earth because of the gravity. But in space, they're discovering that they can create better, stronger, more intact cells. And so hopefully I'll be a part of that effort.
And as a Native person, we know that there are some Native people who have chosen and have worked for NASA before in the past. So what does that mean to you?
To me, it's really important. I think your background and your heritage is an important part of who you are and your family and the community that brought you up. And so I think it's important also then to share with our communities what the amazing things that all of the people that, you know, that we grew up with are executing and what they're doing. And so hopefully there's some young Native kids that are looking and see what amazing things, what amazing opportunities that they have in front of them. And I mean, a lot of those barriers that used to exist are really being broken down. And so I think that's some good messaging that we really want to communicate specifically to the younger generation.
And especially when it comes to getting girls and women involved, and there are programs across the country and in Indian country that encourage young girls to get interested in STEM. Why is that so important?
I think that's important because I think there's many young girls that grow up not realizing that these are options for them. You know, for example, growing up in Northern California, I was interested in math and science, and I thought, you know, it'd be really cool to go to space one day. But the thought of being an astronaut honestly never crossed my mind because I never saw anybody that was from, you know, my background or my area that had done something like that. And so I think really just communicating those opportunities. And then if people are interested, then we need to help them. We need to have a program. We need to have teachers and mentors that are there to kind of shepherd them along the way. It's important to have that support.
And so when you get home after the mission and, you know, looking forward to being up there for 6 months, what are you going to do when you get back? And what do you, you know, what can we see in the future from you?
When I get back, I think I'll be excited just to be outside and feel the wind on my face and the sun. That will be something I will definitely miss. There'll be a period of time to rehabilitate back to 1G. It can be a little tough on your body, so I'll do that. And then I'll look on to the next mission. I'll be able to support current missions on the International Space Station. We will have flown, hopefully, Artemis 1 back to the moon by then. And so we'll be looking at future opportunities, whether that be in low Earth orbit or maybe something on the moon. I think there's a lot of opportunities out there. And so I'm looking forward to all of those.
And where can people follow? Where can they watch? And especially, I'm sure, you know, people tuning in from across Indian country are going to want to follow you on this mission.
Absolutely. I think NASA.gov is the easiest way to follow. NASA's also on Facebook and Insta and TikTok. And so for the young social media crowd, there's a lot of ways to reach out and engage with the space program and all the really cool things that we're doing in space. And hopefully we'll have some young engineers or astronauts out there that that will help us in the future.
Well, thank you so much for your time, Nicole Mann. Good luck and best wishes to you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And Rhonda, NASA would not confirm, but I'm pretty sure she's going to be the first Native American woman in space. We know John Harrington is famous as a Native man going into space. And just your reaction and all the cool things that Nicole Mann had talked about.
Yeah, and then being an educator, like, I think this is really great for our students to see somebody who, you know, who is like them, and they can have those dreams and ambitions to go to, you know, go into space and be in STEM, and especially for our young women to have somebody who's a mentor like that and to look forward to that. I think that's something we really push at Haskell is the STEM for our students, and now it's like this is a reality, and I'm sure there's going to be so many Native students that are going to be watching her as she launches into space.
And it's just exciting too that, you know, there's good news to celebrate a lot of times in the news business, and even just, you know, getting online, there's so much hard stuff that we report on daily and just a lot of stuff out there in the media in general and social media. And so it is exciting and it is great to do these kinds of stories when we do get to lift people up and we do get to talk about achievements and things that are going on that are positive in Indian country. What are your thoughts on that, Rhonda?
Yeah, definitely. Like that, you know, all the good stuff we're hearing from in media, like we're seeing Res Dogs and Rutherford Falls, and then Prey, you know, those are awesome things that are being done by our students and by, you know, people in the past that we know. Like I've known Dallas Goldtooth and all those guys are involved in Res Dogs, Sterling Harjo. I think about, like, I had Sterling in my class the semester before COVID happened. And so, like, you know, him talking about what he had been planning and then to see it come and happen in fruition and then see all these young people being a part of that. And then also seeing people that I know now, they're a part of the Res Dog, you know, group, like they're being in those episodes. Like, it's pretty cool to see people, you know, and I think it's great to see that. It's great to have good news, especially the past 2 years of what we've gone through.
And for sure. And there's, you know, more that we're covering, including Sasheen Littlefeather, an event coming up with her in LA with the Academy, giving her a night to speak and tell her views. And of course, she was in the 70s, refused Marlon Brando's Oscar, and so how that impacted her and how she was treated. And now here we are and having these different views about Native people from Native people that are on the big screen and on streaming services. It's great to see.
It is, definitely.
And Ogama, what do we have coming on next? Are we headed to break?
We're heading to break. We've actually got about 2 more minutes left. Next, I think what we were going to talk about was a Native American author whose book I actually just got in the mail as part of a local book club, if you'd like to tell us about that.
Yeah, so that's Oscar Hokia, and he's Kiowa and Cherokee and Mexican. And he recently visited Lawrence, Kansas, to do a reading here. And it was his first time visiting Haskell, so I got to show him around my building. He went to II in New Mexico. And so it was really exciting to hear him do his reading. I'm sure you're going to love the book. It is great how he intertwines these stories. And it's from, like, different perspectives, like, in his family of, like, talking about things that we know about. Like, one of them was per cap. and like how people spend their per cap, but like funny stories, you know, like you hear those funny stories of how people like blew their per cap or like things they spent it on. And it's crazy. And that native humor, and it's so great, but he's also great at reading it. Like, he's an actor himself. I told him I could see this being being a show.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't wait to dig into that book myself. I'm reading it as part of the Native Women and Friends Book Club, which is based out of the Twin Cities here. So I'm really excited to read it. I just got it in the mail yesterday and then seen his name that you two were bringing an interview with him, and I'm really excited to see that. So you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm Ogama Ganuakwe, and we have special guest host Antonia Gonzalez and Rhonda Lavalda here with us today from National Native News. We are so happy and grateful that they were able to join us today and hope that they can join us again in the future. Stay tuned. Up next is going to be their interview with Oscar Hokia, who is the author of Calling for a Blanket Dance, a new novel that just came out. Really looking forward to this. We'll be right back.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The plan includes personal support, coverage for medical prescription drugs and dental, plus over 30 extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I am Ogama Ganuakwe. We are here with Antonia Gonzalez and Rhonda Lavaldo, who are guest hosting here for us today. Great to be here with you two today, and thanks so much for joining us. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Well, Rhonda, I'll go ahead and turn it over to you. And before the break, you told us a little bit about Oscar. So you caught up with him, and you do your own radio show in Kansas as well. So, you know, you got to meet him there.
Yeah, so I got to meet him and see him and do his reading downtown in Lawrence. And, you know, this was just a really great interview, him talking about his book and what it entails.
My name is Oscar Hokia, and I am from Oklahoma. I'm Kiowa Cherokee and Mexican, and I was born and raised in Oklahoma. My debut novel, Calling for a Blanket Dance, it's out now. And the novel is it's like a multi-generational coming-of-age story, and the main character, his name is Ever Gima Saddle. And I guess the nucleus of the story is about family and how families show up for each other. And the title, Calling for a Blanket Dance, it comes from, you know, in powwow culture, when we do a blanket dance and we ask for the community to kind of step up and help out somebody. And so the main character is kind of in that situation where, you know, he has, you know, different obstacles in life, and as he overcomes those, fate kind of knocks him back down. But family steps in and tries to help him out, and each family member has a healing type of strength that they give to him, they offer to him, so that he can continue to fight for himself and his children. And so the structure of the novel is that every chapter is told by a different family member. So we start off with grandma's first chapter, grandpa's second chapter, and then we got aunties, uncles, cousins, siblings, and then in the last chapter, Evergy Masato speaks for himself. And so it covers, the dynamics in Oklahoma. You know, it's intertribal. Oklahoma's home to 39 different tribes. And so I wanted to capture that intertribal back and forth that we have out there in Oklahoma.
Awesome. And you couldn't get more intertribal than Haskell.
Yeah. That's for sure.
Do you have plans for another book in the works? Are you working on anything else?
I am. So I have a book. I've written another book, and it's in a polishing phase still right now. So I can't talk about any details on it, but then I've also have a first draft of a third book that's really rough right now. So just still working on other projects. My writing, it all takes place in Oklahoma, either Tahlequah or Lawton, and I try to stay pretty specific to those areas. That's kind of I wanted to make my own path in Native literature. We're in this boom of Native lit right now, but we have some great voices coming out, and I wanted to kind of make my own way within that landscape. And so that's my type of fiction is going to be kind of family center type stuff, but interweaving Kiowa and Cherokee, because that's how I grew up, but also with a dynamic of Mexico. So I like that transnational element. You see it in this novel where we have the characters moving back and forth, into Mexico, and kind of challenging the concept of that border to a certain degree, because these are just family members trying to visit family, they're just trying to go see relatives. And so I have a little bit of that transnational element there as well. And so you'll see a lot of that in my fiction, I think, as we keep going forward.
Are you doing this to try and get the younger generation still knowing about their culture?
I think, because I worked with at-risk youth for almost 20 years now. And so a lot of what I write is kind of youth, youth worker type centered elements within it. It's in this novel. It's definitely in the second and third novels. And so I think that that's important in the sense that, when we look at the process of decolonization, and I call this a decolonization narrative, this fiction novel that I have, captures a character who's kind of going through that process, and it's a perpetual state. I don't know if there's ever going to be an end time when we've been decolonized, but we're in the process of it, and we look at the culture as a way to cope with some of the trauma, and that's what this character is going through. And I think that as I continue to write, definitely it's going to have that youth worker type focus, where you have adults trying to help youth overcome some historical trauma and using the culture as a means to do that.
I think your books will be really important, especially with the boarding school initiatives that are going on. And I know one of the things that I noticed that speaking with my students about how Haskell started was in a very happy way, that they may not have been impacted by it yet, but then they start to realize the impact of it, and they start to feel that breakdown later on, and they don't know how to deal with it. I guess I just never thought about that me introducing the historical concept of Haskell is bringing that to them and may impact them in a way they may not know how to deal with that. So I think what you're doing is awesome.
Yeah, I think that's super important to, I remember when my grandmother would talk about the boarding school, and she didn't say much, but she would say that she wasn't allowed to speak Cherokee, and I don't know why. I felt like she didn't want to talk a whole lot about it, and I guess in hindsight, now that I'm an adult and now I know the history of it, now I could see why she wasn't so reticent to just talk about her experiences there. I think that that's one thing we contend with. We start to think back about the way boarding schools were and the environment and the way it was, and just some of the some of the behaviors of our grandparents and how that transferred to our parents, and that a lot of this starts to make sense, how from generation to generation it kind of keeps going, and we keep trying to do what we can to help each other to heal and overcome those things that started way back when. Thank you for having me. Thank you for inviting me to speak here, and I'm super excited to do it, super excited to be here in Lawrence and be here at Haskell. I've heard a lot about this school, so yeah, it's nice to be here.
That was a nice shout out to Haskell, Rhonda, and a lot of great things he said, and just looking at boarding school and so much reporting that we do and so much coming out of it, and just how hard it is on our people across the country. Every single person in Indian Country and Alaska have been impacted by boarding schools. Oh, you're on mute.
His stuff was, you know, in Native humor and you know, making light of situations, although we know how hurtful it can be. But I think it was good to, you know, when he was doing his reading, there was so many times that people were laughing, just laughing and understanding what he was saying. And sometimes we just have to, you know, try and get it out that way and deal with it.
And that's definitely part of our culture. We're funny people, but also just laughter is part of healing. It's good for mind, body, soul, and it's great to see Native authors like Oscar getting the well-deserved attention they need. I recently got to speak with a Navajo woman who just has her debut novel that was just released this month, Ramona Emerson, Look Out for Shutter, and it's a thriller about a young Navajo girl who becomes a photographer shooting crime scenes with the Albuquerque Police Department, and she's carrying a secret. Her secret is she can see and communicate with the people that she's photographing. So it's a really good book, and it's great to see all these Native authors and their light coming to work.
Yeah, definitely. There's a renaissance of like Native literature coming out, and that is so great. And again, calling for a Blake and Dance, it's a great first novel. You guys need to go out and get a copy, support him.
This is so exciting to hear all about this novel and all about this upcoming novel too, Antonia Shutter. That sounds great. Thank you so much to our guest hosts, Antonia Gonzalez and Rhonda Lavaldo, for joining us today on Native Roots Radio. Antonia, where can people find you to follow you really quickly before we end the show?
NativeNews.net, and thanks so much, and hello to Robert, and thank you, Oklahoma, and thank you, Rhonda.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in today. McGwich, you've been listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake with special guest hosts Antonia Gonzalez and Rhonda Lavaldo. Come in tomorrow for our regular scheduled programming. Thank you so much.